You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 68. My guest today is Heidi. Now, Heidi is a celebrity TV presenter operating from Shanghai, and she has millions of viewers to her very long-term TV show. And she also has another venture going. But I'll let you discover, as the dream interpretation goes on and our discussion goes on, exactly what it is that Heidi does and exactly what dilemma her dream has highlighted for her. This is a time for Heidi to make some big decisions, maybe change the way she's been doing things. And I think you're going to love not only Heidi's quite spectacular dream, but the places it takes her and us. So enjoy. Welcome to the show, Heidi. How are you?
I'm great, Jane Theresa. How are you?
Oh, wonderful, thank you. Just sitting out looking at the boats on the river today.
Oh, very nice.
Very nice, yeah. But I'm not there. I'm in the studio and I'm talking to you and I'm focusing not on waking life but on dreams. So what have you got for me?
Well, you know, I have to say, I have, knowing that I wanted to talk to you for to look at dreams, I've been trying desperately to have a dream that I actually remember for the last 2 weeks. And it's been so difficult. This is one of my biggest things, is it's been so difficult for me to actually remember them when I wake up. However, when I shot you an email and you said, you know, to sort of just get in focus and sort of chill out and wear one of your dream wristlets, I actually did that last night and I remember all the dreams that I had last night. So
wow, I'm very impressed.
Which is the weirdest thing. It's the funniest thing. It was the first time, and I do remember years ago that I used to always wake up and remember all my dreams, but I haven't for quite some time now. So I've got this really weird dream that I had last night, and I'm sort of thinking about how I can connect it, but I thought, you know what? You're probably the better person to help me with that.
Let me do the detective work and I'll bring you in as the sub-detective.
Exactly. So this is, I was sitting in a room and it was kind of like a screen, a whiteboard with a projection up, and it had two sort of articles. I suppose it was sort of very short articles. And the first one was about someone that had done something bad within our TV station, and that had sort of gone through the back end and pretty much sort of agreed to do something that he shouldn't have done. And then there was a second one that came up, and it was saying that I had done something that I had that I shouldn't have done at the TV station. And I just remember sitting there thinking, I was so angry because it hadn't actually happened. And my boss and actually long-term friend was sitting next to me, and I just remember this absolute sort of disappointment in them and then just sort of anger. And then suddenly, funnily enough, I find myself in a sort of like a mountain. I was climbing a mountain and there were two other people with me, and I was climbing up and we got to the top very quickly. It's amazing how dreams, you can actually climb a lot quicker than you do in normal life. And we were at the top and there was sort of this huge mountain of stones, and then there was sort of one person, there was sort of who I think was kind of more the leader of the group, and I felt that I was not particularly keen on the person, but that they were sort of leading me. And and then they sort of started unraveling all these sort of rocks on top, and I realized that there were these jewels underneath, and there was these big purple sort of amethyst jewels, and I'm sort of growing for them. And then he's sort of going deeper and getting these huge, I'm talking like sort of hand size emeralds. And as he sort of grabbed the sort of really big sort of shiny emerald inside, there were sort of everyone sort of came out of the woodworks, and we're obviously doing something completely illegal. And they sort of started yelling and screaming. And so I sort of grabbed an amethyst.
As you do.
As I do. And then I started sort of racing away and then sort of climbing up another mountain. And then sort of more people came out of the woodwork, and then suddenly I found myself doing my makeup, and I remember putting this sort of green eyeshadow under my eyes.
Under your eyes.
I mean, I know that's really all disconnected, but
Oh, it's a wonderful dream, Heidi. I'm very impressed.
it's always hard to know if it's sort of the one story, but you know, I sort of jumped from here to there, and I don't know.
It is actually one story. It's quite interesting how dreams will do this. Within one dream, sometimes even all the dreams of a night are often connected in some way. But also within one dream, even when there seems to be a complete scene change, like from the TV studio to, well, now I've nearly finished climbing a mountain. Those scene changes, if you look at the individual scenes, are often going over the same kind of theme. So it's almost like a dream will present something that obviously needs interpretation, and we'll do that from one kind of angle, and then it goes on and presents it using different symbols from another angle, and then using different symbols again. Right. And so you can then quite clearly often see, as we will, how each segment, each theme is actually pointing to the same thing. And that kind of is really good because it gives extra emphasis to the interpretation. But a few questions first. Just clarifying, at the end there, you said you're putting green eyeshadow on under your eyes. Is that how you normally do your makeup? You put eyeshadow under your eyes, so that's normal for you?
Yes, kind of like a liner, sort of a green eyeliner.
Okay, that's lovely. And, you know, you mentioned TV, and I do know that you've got a TV show, which we might talk about later, but that kind of makeup with putting the green eyeliner under your eyes, is that something you do when you're working on TV, or is that a personal thing, or both?
Both. It's normally something that I would do when I'm sort of, it's very, probably very much more related to work, whether it be the TV or whether I'm going into a meeting, or, you know, it kind of is very much sort of a business sort of that side of me.
Okay, that's good to know. And two other questions. In the first kind of segment of the dream, you mentioned your boss who was kind of looking at you and getting a bit angry about, well, what's this you've done? And then later on, there was the leader who was leading you up the mountain. I just want to grab a bit of information about both of those. So starting with the boss, if you could, is that a male or a female?
Male.
A male. If you could pick three words to describe that man's personality or approach to life without thinking too much, which three words would you choose?
I would say high achiever, very accommodating, and very helpful and supportive of me.
Oh, what a lovely person. And the leader who was leading up the mountain, although he was a dream figure, the same for him, just your sense in the dream of his personality.
I felt like I was, they've obviously sort of had coaxed me into doing something that I, you know, in a way that I sort of wanted to do it, but was a little bit blind as to what exactly I was doing. But I didn't actually, I felt like the second person was more on my wavelength. I felt that that top person was actually quite, you know, not at all on my wavelength. I felt more sort of animosity towards them.
Okay, that's lovely. What one other characteristic that you might like to describe that dream leader in terms of his personality? The mountain leader?
What else would I say? I would say,
don't think too hard, just let it come. He was
quite, what would you say, you know, sort of enticing.
Enticing, thank you, that's lovely. Okay, because when we have people in our dreams, whether they're people we know or they're just dream characters, they do represent aspects of ourselves or issues that are pertinent at the time of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, straight away, without even looking at the dream details, you've got an opposite. The boss you see as someone who's not really on your wavelength, and the mountain climbing leader you see as someone who is on your wavelength. So one of the issues that your dream is looking at is, what is my wavelength? Because it's all about you. You know, what am I sometimes doing that feels like it's not on my wavelength, for good or for bad? So you could, I guess you could say, for wavelength, intuitively feeling good about something, resonating with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes when we run a business, even when it's our own business, there are things that we do that resonate well with us. That, yeah, that's on my wavelength. This feels really good. And there are other things that you have to do sometimes in business and you think, that's not really kind of, it doesn't really resonate with me.
Yeah, sure.
And Yeah, and sometimes those are things that we have to do anyway because that's business, and sometimes maybe that's not. So your dream is questioning those, and we will go into those more deeply. And I loved the way that the mountain leader was, you know, you described him as enticing. Mm. Because what this means is, and the dream always refers to the day or two before. Mm-hmm. So what this means is there was a part of you over the last 2 days before the dream that knows what your wavelength is, knows what you really want to do, knows what resonates with you, and has been enticing you from deep down inside to go, come on, Heidi, let me entice you to do it your way here.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you need enticement to do it your way, it could be because you feel that you're doing it someone else's way or the wrong way, some way that doesn't quite fit. Or maybe you've been doing something a certain way for so long, and now there's this deep part of you going, come on, Heidi, let's do it more, you know, in a way that resonates, that feels better, that's on your wavelength.
Yeah.
Now, the moment you've got that kind of dynamic happening, you've also then got the question of doing things wrong. You know, right at the start of the dream, the first article said someone at this TV station has done something wrong.
Yes.
Right. Now, the moment we start to think, I want to do something differently, then the other part of you that's been doing it the other way for a long time goes, you can't do that. That's wrong.
Yep, sure.
Right. And right at the end of the dream, there's this feeling when you're running around waving the amethyst. You used the word illegal at one point. You said it's like somebody's doing something illegal here.
Yeah, right.
Right. So this is about the rules that you, Heidi, have set yourself over a long period of time, and you've been a very good girl and following them. And in the last 2 days, you've been beginning to think, even at a deep level, you may not even be conscious of this at the moment. You've been thinking, but I want to break the rules now, and I want to do it my way. I want to do it in a way that feels right to me, that's kind of on my wavelength. But maybe I shouldn't, because everyone's going to get really annoyed with me, and, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this. That's the big issue in the depth of the dream. So I'm going to go in and show you how that all puts together. But how are we going so far?
Sounds good. Sounds great.
Okay. Now, we get to the point in life where we have done things a certain way for many years, as your dreams suggest in one area of your life that you have. You know, you've set the rules, and this is how you do your business. This is how you play your game. And that's what's under question at the moment. But the reasons why we play that game in the first place often track back to some other issue. So at the start of the dream, you're actually in the TV studio, which is part of your business.
Yes.
And, you know, I know you're on camera and that you are run your own show and that you have a whole team working with you. That's right, isn't it? In
yep.
waking life. Yeah.
Yep.
So you've probably set a lot of the rules and the way that things are done
yep.
up to now. And I know that you've got a long running show that's been going for, is it 9 years?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So you've probably had, you know, a formula that you've been tweaking, but basically following for all that time. Have you?
Yeah, I'm the only one that's actually been consistent throughout those 9 years. So my team has sort of come and gone and changed quite a bit. So it's basically up to me to keep the show together, down to lighting, directing and what have you.
Okay, so you're all the details, from the small details to the top details, everything.
Yeah.
And you've got a set way of doing things, basically.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Now, you would have set those that pattern when you set out to do your first show for
yes.
For various reasons.
Yes.
Now, the beginning of your dream opens up, and the very start of the dream usually is the situation that you're in at the moment.
Right.
And the start of the dream is, oh, I've kind of posted something. That's like the whiteboard, two articles for everyone to see. I've kind of made it obvious that I am thinking about doing things a bit different.
Right.
Yeah. You know? But I don't really want to draw attention. Suddenly I feel really bad about this. In fact, I feel really angry that this has been posted here.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking about doing something different. And the part of me that's been doing it the other way for 9 years is going, you can't do that. You know, this is not good. Now, the other person that gets angry with you in the dream is your boss. And you've described her as a high achiever, and very accommodating and very helpful and supportive. So, you know, certainly very accommodating and very helpful and supportive are excellent characteristics that you, you know, would certainly wouldn't want to lose.
Yeah.
High achiever can be a question mark one in a boss.
Right.
You know, we all want to achieve well, and we all need a high achiever in a sense to motivate us and to stand with us and to help us to attain our ultimate dreams. But sometimes a high achiever can be over the top high achieving.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, okay. Well, I think with him, the case is that he's sort of, although he is supportive of me, then, you know, fundamentally he is bound by his wanting to achieve, and he's been very successful from a reporter to sort of heading up the TV station, but he's ultimately accountable to the TV station, not me.
Ah, yes, okay. So he's playing by different rules.
So exactly, but I mean, incredibly supportive. I mean, I couldn't expect anyone else to be more supportive. I think there is an underlying knowledge that he is definitely, he will do everything he can, but then, you know, then there's the sort of his position comes into, account.
Right, okay. So that makes a lot of sense, because remember, he is reflecting something about you in the dream.
Yeah.
So there's some aspect of Heidi who is also very accommodating and very helpful and supportive of what you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been doing it this long.
Yes.
But there's also some part of you that is the high achiever.
Right, okay.
Right. And you have achieved very highly indeed. Mm. But you are also the high achiever. But as you've described for the boss, there's that part of yourself that wishes and succeeds at achieving highly is also bound to some extent by other criteria, just as the boss is bound by the other criteria than yours.
Yeah, I understand that, yes.
Yeah, and this is the point where you've had this dream where you're beginning to question, I don't want to do it that way anymore. I want to do it more on my own wavelength. But that would be illegal, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would be wrong, wouldn't it? Right, and we're here in the dream to maybe persuade you and entice you, like the leader climbing the mountain. Well, maybe consider, maybe it's not wrong. Maybe this is just a shift and a change in the way that you're going to do things from now on, to certainly keep your boss with you because he sounds like a fantastic person.
Yes.
But maybe to find a way to also just shift slightly to do things more to your own wavelength. And we're going to look at the rest of the dream to see why your unconscious mind in the dream is proposing this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. Now, all that anger at the beginning of the dream, the boss kind of looked angry. Then you got really angry that this was all kind of being heard about. Is your own anger that you feel at a very deep unconscious level. So it's probably an anger that you've been pushing down and not expressing, and pushing down and not expressing, and pushing down and not expressing. And it's like, if I Heidi want to move to the next stage and do something a little bit more to my own wavelength, I'm going to have to acknowledge that I'm angry about something, and determine what that is. And it's probably, I would say from your dream, I Heidi am angry at myself for sometimes pushing myself over the top with this high achiever thing instead of doing things slightly more the way that I would like them, and amazingly perhaps achieving even more.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the scene then shifts to the mountain. Now, you described that boss as a high achiever, and when you were talking about him a few minutes ago, you also described him as over the top.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm laughing, thinking, well, that's what you do when you go up a mountain, you go over the top.
and the other person, both the other two people, well, mainly the other one, was actually very much above us throughout the whole, when we're on the mountain. The other person sort of was slightly above me, but often sort of level with me.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the part of yourself that is, that's your own leadership qualities that are up there, maybe sometimes over the top, maybe sometimes leading the right way, and sometimes level with you. And you and the dreamer are the one that wants to do things your way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of leveling out now with the sort of leadership aspect of yourself. This is coming to be something that you really would like to do. You've got the feeling, you described the leader in the dream as a bit blind, but enticing. Now, when we kind of follow blindly, those are the words we sometimes use when we're following our intuition.
Right, okay.
You know, I mean, people talk about blind intuition. But you know that feeling when you, and I know you know it well, Heidi, when you think, I just have this feeling that I should do it this way. I don't really know what I'm doing here, but I just know that this is what I've got to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm.
Now, that's intuition, and that's why it's blind. And that's what this leader in your dream was representing, the part of yourself that is basically going, come on, let's get over this big mountain. Let's climb to the top.
Yep.
Let's get over this thing, this challenge. By following the intuition rather than necessarily following the rules and regulations as you've been following so far.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. So what is absolutely beautiful then is that the top of the mountain is covered in stones, and underneath the stones are gems. And the deeper you go, the more precious the gems get.
Yeah.
You know, it goes from stones to amethysts to emeralds. And I think emeralds are more precious than amethysts, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So, and you also, when you describe that part of the dream, as you're going down through those levels, through the stones, the amethysts and the emeralds in the dream, twice you mentioned in that dream that people were coming out of the woodwork or things were coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Now, what we've got at that part of the dream is a beautiful picture of what's coming out of your woodwork. In other words, what's coming out of your unconscious and coming to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing in that dream is you get to the very top, the high achiever. You've done this thing. You get the essence in the dream that if you follow your own wavelength rather than the rules you've set yourself, you're going to achieve something absolutely spectacular. And when you get to that point, this is maybe the thing that you haven't wanted to do, you're going to get to a point where you want to go deeper than the superficial stones and deeper through the amethyst and maybe, although it was pretty scary in the dream, down to the real depths of the rich emeralds.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that comes out of the woodwork is maybe some of the stuff that you've been angry about in the past. It's like, oh, but if I go that deep to find the really rich parts of myself, the really emerald parts of myself, the real gems within me, when people think they've seen the gems of Heidi, but hey, they ain't seen nothing yet. You wait till they see the emeralds.
Yeah.
But in order for you to show them the emeralds, it's like your dream's going, but all this stuff's going to come out of the woodwork. They might discover I've been doing things illegally, like following my own wavelength instead of other people's.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that I want to go there, because if I go there, and that's what the dream is about.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that at the very end you put the green eyeshadow under your eyes, and green is emerald as well, of course.
Yeah.
At the very end you're preparing yourself, your public persona in a way, for TV as well as your public persona in private life. You know, we don't maybe wear makeup at home, we put makeup on to go out.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. So there is a sense that in using your green eyeliner in everyday life, you kind of already know that this is, you know, the eyes is that your eyes are the capital I, they're the windows to your soul.
Uh-huh.
And you kind of instinctively line your eyes with green, going, yeah, this is me. This is Heidi. This is the real emerald. Look into my eyes. This is me. This is who I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
But at the moment, you're not really, according to the dream, ready to totally embrace that deep emerald value of who you are. You're still running around with the amethyst level.
yeah, you see, I took an amethyst.
What does an amethyst mean to you?
Actually, funny enough, I've always believed that amethyst was my star sign, the February. It represents February. So, and I've never really thought about that, actually, now that you're saying it. So I think that amethyst is really my stone. It's the one that I associate most to out of all of the other stones.
Yeah. Right. So it's to you represents your authentic self then?
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you associate to an emerald? What do you feel about emeralds?
I would say richness, vibrancy, slightly sort of more unique in the fact that it's not so much like a diamond, which everyone tends to go with. You know, I think that it's got a real uniqueness to it, a real unique beauty to it.
Right. That's so lovely. I love that.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll translate that for you. I, Heidi, am an amethyst. I've always been an amethyst. I really relate to it. It's my authentic self as I have known myself up till now. But, you know, there's a part of myself that's an emerald. It's totally unique. It's got a uniqueness about it. It's not like everybody else's diamond. This is different. I'm an emerald.
Mm.
I have something special and unique. So although you have seen me and I think I'm being my authentic and wonderful self, amethyst self now, you just wait till you see the totally unique and different emerald that I really am.
Mm. Wow. I didn't realize I did so much work last night.
Your dream always refers to the 24 or 48 hours before, and your conscious and your unconscious experiences and responses in those couple of days. So when you think back, and you don't have to divulge, you know, too much unless you want to,
yeah.
When you look back at the couple of days before your dream, can you now see any of those issues that might have come up for you?
I mean, absolutely. I think that sort of more so, well, recently with the TV station, for me, it's a big question with Sancta Stones. Because we're pursuing it and we really need to take it to the next level and put all of ourselves into it, to make it an international success, that's a real decision that, you know, and commitment that I have to make, which I suppose, you know, and I believe that it will, you know, I will really shine in that. And although I have been doing the TV for such a long time and it's something that I do quite easily, it really should be, I realize, more of a stepping stone to something else, and as a more of something that should propel me into the emerald than actually being the emerald itself. I think it's not so much, you know, the peak. It's really sort of the thing that's going to help push me, but it is definitely a decision that I've been sort of having to work on, so that I can just and you know, there's a whole sort of lifestyle that comes with it, and it's a big decision when you're going to focus on one thing and not more than that.
That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So just running that past again. So one of the possible things that you've been thinking about is staying in TV but changing the direction of it work in more with Sancta Stones?
Yeah, maybe more so using the TV as to heighten, this kind of thing's a bit obvious, but heighten my profile, continuing that but really making more of it and doing a lot more sort of, TV ads, commercials, guest appearances and things like that, so that it heightens my profile, so that it, not just to have a heightened profile, but so that it can actually be something that assists me in making Sancta Stones an international success, instead of the TV being in itself alone something that I do.
I understand that. So, and that sounds really sensible to me. So if you go back a few years, would that have been a totally alien thought to you?
Yeah, I think for me, back a few years, not that long ago, they were two things that I love doing, and two things that I have always sort of very much separated. Kept them apart, but actually I think that they should be something where they're working together.
So that's where you're thinking, that's where your unconscious mind is going over changing the rules and oops, is this doing something wrong?
Exactly. And it is, you know, there are certain elements to that which sort of, you know, you sort of get, oh, do I have to do that? You know, and there's also a fear of is this the right track? I mean, you know, do I just stop the TV and just focus on one thing, or will that help me then propel the Sancta Stones?
Yes, yeah. We should just mention at this point what Sancta Stones is to help everybody listening. And of course, you did have the stones at the top of the mountain, which deeper down were gems and emeralds. So would you like to explain to everyone before we move to the next stage of your interpretation what Sancta Stones is?
Sancta Stones, we are about helping people consciously and unconsciously achieve their dreams, and by creating a habit throughout the day using motivational jewelry. And it's pretty exciting because it's one of those things where people get all motivated, you know, they do a course or they get motivated one day, but then they don't consistently be motivated and focused on their goals. And when they're wearing some of our motivational jewelry, not only do they have the assistance of the crystals, but also it becomes a visual reminder for them to take action and create good habits throughout the day so that they're really on the track to achieving goals.
Yeah, that's right. And you have made a beautiful dream wristlet for
me. Absolutely. In honor of you. And really, that it's been so fantastic working with you on that. And, you know, it's funny, because I was wearing it last night, that has got an amethyst in the center and it also uses green stones. So it's purple and green. And I was thinking, wow, I wonder if it was because I was looking at the amethyst before I went to bed and I had that green association. I wasn't sure. So. It's such a beautiful wristlet, that one.
It is. It's lovely, and I'm really enjoying wearing it as well. Thank you for that. And did you want to put everything in context and mention a little bit about the TV show?
Yeah, sure. I have a daily TV show in Shanghai, and it's a cooking show. I go to the top 5-star hotels around China and cook with some of their most amazing chefs, and a lot of them Michelin star chefs, celebrity chefs. And I represent very much the audience where I can't cook. Although I did this after 9 years, I've learned a few things. But it's basically the chef teaching me some of the tips of the trade, and, you know, so that I can go away and learn some simple and healthy dishes that I can easily cook at home.
Mm, and I know you've got a huge audience and following.
We've got millions of people watch our show every day. It's actually 3 times a day, in the morning, lunchtime and evening. It's on the peak time, 6:30. And we have, you know, it's a huge following. It's fantastic.
Yeah, congratulations on all of that. And that's where it can become difficult, can't it, when you've got such a hugely successful model to, you know, and then you start to think about, well, as you've just explained, how can I change my profile slightly, work with the TV in a different way, or you know, go on to other TV stations or do commercials or work the media in a different way. You're starting to look at all those things. It's almost like cheating on yourself after those 9 years of establishing this other highly successful, right? And that's where the dream's coming in, and that's where the anger in the dream is. It's like, oh, you know, am I really going to? I'm angry though. I'm kind of angry that I'm in this position where I've got this fantastic, you know, TV series with everybody just absolutely loving it, and it's such a success. It's got such a huge following, and I'm thinking of changing it a little bit.
Well, the funny thing is, and this is probably where maybe anger comes in, is that I'm not that interested in cooking.
It's not really on your wavelength.
So funny. I mean, everyone says it. Why do I do it? And the main reason is obviously is because I'm incredibly passionate about leading a healthy lifestyle and doing things simply. So it's kind of a bit more of a quest of trying to find simple dishes and simple food to cook healthy food, because I know that no matter what I do, I need to eat well. So that, but as far as, you know, cooking gourmet food, it's not something I'm interested in, actually.
You have so put your finger on it. Well done there. So that's what you've got. You've got the old formula was the gourmet food and, you know, a lot of gourmet dishes. I'm with you on this. I understand completely where you're coming from. A lot of gourmet dishes that looks beautiful. It smells lovely. It tastes lovely, but it's going to become part of my body. I'm not really sure that I want to do that.
Exactly.
And so there's this thought of, you know, the merge for you between your TV show and your Sancta Stones business, you know, where those two overlap is the health of mind, body, spirit, isn't it, really? And achieving through and being totally in alignment with all of that. And that's where your dream is really focusing on. You know, that's where the emeralds, that's where you can take it from the amethyst to the emerald level. And how are you going to do that? So, I mean, apart from the fact that you can go away and actually think about all of that, you know, and particularly, Heidi, you know, think that if ever there's a dilemma, it's probably probably the best step in life is to go with your intuition and to go with what feels like it's on your wavelength rather than what doesn't feel like it's on your wavelength. But there are many, many ways to do that. But our quest at the moment is to work out a dream alchemy practice from your dream that will work with your unconscious mind down there where the emeralds are to shift any blocks or limitations that are there so that you can come to the best decision as to how to move forward from this point.
Okay.
So I'll tell you what I'm thinking of, and then you tell me how you feel about that, and we'll build the visualization from there. So what I'm thinking, looking at the dream, is that you probably want to become more comfortable with the emerald level. Would you agree to
that? Absolutely.
Yeah. So what I would really like to do, I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the amethyst. You have been a beautiful amethyst for all these years, but we want to take it deeper and bring out the emerald in you to shine. So what I'm thinking is that we do a visualization where we've got that end part of the dream, but we just make you feel comfortable about having the emerald and make you feel really good holding the emerald. And what that will do is it will doing that visualization will communicate with your unconscious mind, which currently isn't that sure about emeralds. Right. That's why you're running around in the dream with the amethyst, basically going, I'm going to bash you with this. Right. Your unconscious mind will become more comfortable with being the unique emerald that you are. And therefore, it will not block your conscious mind from making good decisions. So you will start then to, when you do this alchemy, to make decisions that are in alignment with being the emerald.
Right. Okay.
Is that what you would like to achieve?
Yep, that sounds fantastic.
Okay, that's great, because that makes this a really, really, really simple dream alchemy visualization. So I'm going to lead you through it now. Okay, so closing your eyes, Heidi, and imagining you're back at the very end of the dream there, where you've been up the mountain and you're currently holding a really large, beautiful, warm amethyst in your hand. And over there, you can see an emerald. It's the biggest, richest emerald you've ever seen in your life, far, far bigger than in the dream, and it's just sitting there on the grass waiting for you to come and pick it up. And you walk towards it because it's shining, and it's shining in a way that's shining right into your heart, and it just feels so good. You really want to pick up that emerald. So here you are. You can still hold the amethyst, just tug it away. It's actually very light even though it's big. You've got a little pocket. Put the amethyst in your pocket. And now walk towards the emerald and bend down and lift it in your two arms. And it's so light. It is incredibly light for such a huge emerald. And as you stand there, feeling this emerald, holding it between two hands now, and you can feel just how unique and special and wonderful and shining and precious it is. And this is you. This is totally on your wavelength. This is the part of Heidi that no one's seen yet, and that you are now ready to shine into the light. And it feels so good. And whenever you need to make a decision in your waking life now, you will know that all you need to do is to feel this emerald, which has now amazingly just slipped into your other pocket. Even though it's big, it carries all the energy. It's just sitting in your pocket. And all you have to do is put your hand in your pocket and touch that emerald, and you know that you will make the right decision. How did that feel?
I think it's great. I was actually thinking that I should really go out and get an emerald rock or something. So that
I think that's a wonderful idea.
So you get some sort of, that represents that, so that I've got it to sort of hold or carry with me from now on. We'll make a wristlet.
I was just going to say, you've got all the materials at Sancta Stones, to do that, to either get a real emerald or an emerald-like stone that you then acts as a touchstone for you, as a memory of the emerald. Absolutely,
That's awesome.
Heidi, to do a dream alchemy visualization, the best way to do it is actually to do that about 30 times a day for two weeks. Now, you can do them one after the other. And when you listen back to this podcast, which is actually, we're recording this on a Thursday and it's going out tomorrow on Friday, you'll hear that visualization was probably less than a minute. So once you listen to that, it actually doesn't take very long to do 30 of those a day. And as you say, if you actually buy yourself an emerald rock or make a Sancta Stones bracelet featuring an emerald type of green, then you can wear that, and every time you look at it, you can actually put your fingers on the green stone and run through that visualization. So 30 times a day for 2 weeks, and then just twice a day, morning and night, for however many weeks you wish to continue. Most of the work is done in the first several visualizations, and the rest are really anchoring it in there. And it does seem weird, and it does seem bizarre, because alchemy does seem like that, because you're talking in the symbols of your unconscious mind and it's not logical. But you will be amazed at how in the next few weeks you will go out and make decisions that might not have felt comfortable before and that are really, really, really good.
I already feel quite confident making sort of having done that, just to make a few decisions that I've got to make today. Good. Actually, it's amazing, through it, with all the courses and what have you I've done, one of the things is that, they always say is that what inhibits you from creating success is always, that programming that either people around you or yourself as sort of all those things that you've told yourself you are or you're not, and what other people have told you you are and what you are not, that how they become so ingrained that even when you set yourself to a goal, you are on the path, but you, as you said, consciously are not aware of a lot of this unconscious negativity that stops you from doing things. And it might not, I mean, a lot of the time it's not conscious, especially when you want to do something. You're sort of on the road, but somehow it sort of pulls you back. So it's interesting to see that actually your brain in the nighttime is really processing all those things. And if you can just tap into that, you can kind of unlock and free a lot of those negative things that you've built up over the years.
That's so exactly right, and so well spoken, you know, because you're right. There are so many courses which don't go into the unconscious side and that set affirmations or tasks or goal setting and rah, rah, rah and hype, hype, hype and yeah. go and do it. But, you know, no matter how much you consciously agree with that, if, as you say, there's an unconscious block, it just isn't going to happen. And so dreams are so powerful for that because they can show you that flip side. And then with the alchemy, you can change that. And that's where the power of the work that you're doing with Sancta Stones is also helping people to remember and get in touch with the fact that there's unconscious stuff yeah. there that they can clear in the ways that, you know, your jewelry does by, well, let's just go dot, dot, dot here and suggest to anybody that really wants to understand more about this to go to your website, which is www.sanctastones, all one word. Yep, is that .com or .com?
.com.
Sanctastones.com. And when I blog this podcast, I'll put the link in there as well. Heidi, thank you so much for sharing a spectacular dream for a woman who hasn't remembered a good dream for a long time. You did brilliantly.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that because it really makes me sort of aware of things that I kind of thought were an issue. And now I'm sort of, I'm clear that they are.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Well, I'm sure you enjoyed that and got a lot out of it. And I do highly recommend that you go to Heidi's Sancta Stones website at www.sanctastones.com and also have a look at the dream wristlet that they have made for me. There's one for men and one for women. And, of course, you can also buy them there, which is lovely. I do have a little announcement to make. And this is on the – for those of you that – have downloaded the Dream Site Diary database. That's the eDream Journal. Up until now, it's only worked for people with PCs, not with Macs. And the keywords are up until now because the problem has been solved. And if you're a Mac user and you've been wanting to download our electronic Dream Journal, the Dream Site Diary database, you can now do this and use it on a Mac. So the place to go is www.dreamsitediary.com. That's site as in SIGHT, dreamsitediary.com. That's Belinda's site. Belinda's the developer of the Dream Journal. And she is absolutely delighted now to have a page telling you what to do if you're a Mac user so that you can take advantage and enjoy. It is, of course, a free download. So go and enjoy that too. It's been a bumper show, so I think I better sign out and go home. But I hope that you've enjoyed the show and remember to visit my website for more information or details on how to consult me and have your own private consultation with me to discover more about your dreams and get help with what unconscious blocks or limitations you might have that are barring you from achieving what you really want to achieve and doing what you really want to do. So go to www.dream.net.au or to my blog at janetheresa.com or come along and chat on Facebook. Till next week, have a wonderful week. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.